Well, hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul. I'm the teaching pastor for the Marion campus. Thanks so much for joining us here today. Appreciate that. Hope your, again, week is off to a great start. This past Sunday, we continued on in the Ecclesiastes series Under the Sun, and we were looking at Ecclesiastes 8 and 9 in this idea that he really begins in 8. He's seeing in verse 14 something that really frustrates him, something that he wants to understand, but it seems as though he can't. And what he's seeing is that righteous and wicked, what it would seem is the righteous cannot prolong their life in their righteousness. And the wicked, it would seem, don't get what they deserve according to our standards. They don't get death. They don't get the punishment that we think maybe they should. And the righteous don't get the life that maybe we think they should. And of course, there are ways to live wisely to minimize self-inflicted wounds, to be clear. But living wisely does not guarantee you tragedy won't strike. And that's the frustration that he's getting to. And of course, he's looking at this from an under-the-sun perspective. And we know, with an over-the-sun perspective, that sin has broken the world. And that's the reason, the ultimate cause of tragedy, of heartache. And so he's navigating this tension. And he seeks with everything he can to try and understand it. But he can't. He just can't understand it. And so then he comes to this point as we go into chapter 9. What he says is, look, the righteous and the wicked are alike in the sense that one day their life will come to an end. Like, everybody dies. That's the point he's making at the beginning of chapter 9. It's pretty depressing. Everybody's going to die. And so he gets to this point, and what he wants us to do is sort of sit in the heaviness of that, I think. And yet he does give us some practical counsel, given the fact that everybody's going to die. And he wants us to consider our future death. And I think he also wants us to consider the unpredictability of our future death, because in the background here, again, we have his sort of insights on you can't prolong life necessarily guaranteed by righteousness. And so then he gives us this practical counsel. It's basically, okay, so what? I'm going to die. So what then do I do? And he says something pretty interesting. I think in verse 9, he says, always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy, in verse 9, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. So pretty fascinating coming from Solomon, a guy with 1,000 women. All he says, all of a sudden he's saying, using this singular form of wife, which I think is fantastic. I think he's come to see, like, look, man, God designed this one way, and you're actually going to find more enjoyment, more pleasure, more satisfaction if you pursue this God's way. So he says that. And then where we really ended up focusing in on Sunday was verse 10. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, and the ESV here would say Sheol, where you are going, there is neither work nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. And he's saying, look, one day again, you're going to die. You're going to enter the realm of the dead. And man, you might look back and you might wish, man, I wish I had made more of my life. I wish I had given it my all. I wish I'd have worked with all of my might. I wish I would have given to my wife everything that I had. And so, you know, I think we see that. And what was fascinating to me is of course, in a New Testament context, we understand that when we die, we don't enter the realm in the sense that he's talking about entering the realm of the dead or Sheol. We enter into the presence of God in paradise, and we know that. And yet, I do think the scriptures encourage us to be all in. Type of people, all in on our marriages, all in on our kids, all in on the work that God has given us to do, all in on pursuing the good works that God has set before us to do. And I think this is an encouragement to live an all-in type of life, because God is an all-in type of God, isn't he? See, God gave Jesus. That's the ultimate example of being all in. Jesus allowed himself and willingly went to the cross to be all in. So God is an all-in God, and I think we're commanded to be an all-in people. And yet, I think one of the greatest dangers of our society, dangers of the time in which we live, we are often all distracted. We are often so distracted, so numbed by frivolity, then I think we rob ourselves of the opportunity to be all in and allow God to use us with an all-in mindset and an all-in heart. Just for example, we went through some statistics. On average, Americans spend 3 hours and 15 minutes on their phones per day. On average, Americans watch 3 hours of TV per day. On average, Americans work about 7 hours a day. On average, Americans sleep about 7 hours a night. When you add all of those averages together, and I understand they're averages, that means there are people who are far less, and it also means there are people who are far more in those categories. That's about 21 to 22 hours, depending on how specific you get with the numbers. What that means is that 20, 21, 22 of your hours, if you fall within the range of the averages, are spent on phone, on TV, on work, or on sleep. And for some of us, look, we're doing maybe work on our phones, and maybe we're at our work doing kingdom work, and we have a kingdom heart in our work. Praise God, that's great. We do need sleep. We need to work. Entertainment is not bad, but I think what can happen is if we're not careful, what we can do is we can distract ourselves to death, and we can miss out on the good works God has given us to do because we're so focused on the nothingness and the emptiness and the distraction and the numbness that comes with entertainment. The command of the preacher here is to be all in. Do it with all your might. And again, I think we follow and we believe in an all-in God. And so I want to challenge us this morning. I'm just reminded of the verse, God has set good works before us to walk in. And I want to walk in them because I believe God is using those works for His glory, for His purposes to bring about salvation. And I don't want to miss those because I'm too distracted on my phone. And man, that was convicting to me this week. I tell you what, convicting to me for sure. And so I want to pray to that end this morning that we would not be a distracted people, but we would be an all-in people for what Jesus is doing in us, through us, and around us. So let's pray. I'll kick us off and you can close it out. Father, thanks for hearing us. That like a father lovingly leans down to listen to his child, you lovingly incline your ear to us. And so we praise you for that, God. Father, when it comes to distraction and being all-in or being all distracted, you know where we are. And so I ask that you would work in our hearts in such a way that we realize the depth of our distraction, if that's what's necessary, and that we would repent of it and that we would seek living a focused, responsible, all-in life, that we would be all-in on our marriage, all-in on our kids, all-in on the meaningful work that you've given us to do that ultimately points to your glory, because when we work hard, we glorify you. We want to be a part of your activity. We want to be a part of your work. We want to be a part of your salvation. Do that within us by the power of your Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.